Welcome back to Project Independence on You. We are talking with Max Richman, who is the CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, and a gentleman with a very long track record and very credible in what he's discussing with us. When we left off, we talked about the cap and the 400,000 idea, the limit of raising or starting again, I guess, with the $400,000. Max, I'm assuming you're there yet.
Right. Well, that's one plan. Senator Bernie Sanders has a similar approach. He would begin at $250,000. But both of those proposals have a lot of merit. Congressman Larson plan has well over 100 co-sponsors. And by reinstituting the payroll tax at $400,000 in wages and above, that would provide enough resources to extend that solvency beyond 2034, really till the end of this century, add about $70 a month to the minimum benefit, which is not a whole lot, but if you're living just on Social Security, it's pretty meaningful. And it would also address the shortfall in the cost of living adjustment, which is based on a formula that is flawed. This bill would correct that formula and measure inflation for the purposes of calculating the COLA based on those kinds of goods and services that seniors count on, which is very important. Under the current formula, a COLA, when every beneficiary knows what a COLA is because they're watching in the fall to see what the adjustment will be, that formula is flawed, which has meant that in 2010 and 11 and 15, there was zero COLA. Why? Because measure of inflation under the current formula is based on how is inflation affecting a wage earner. Therefore, when the price of gasoline plummeted, it drove down the COLA. Because it's a big component of that formula, but seniors aren't using gasoline as much as working people. They're not going to work and back every day for the most part. They're not dropping children off at school and picking them up, taking them to activities. So to have that much weight put on something like gasoline, and not enough weight put on the things seniors rely on, the price of medicine, for example. The price of health care does not accurately reflect how inflation is affecting them. And after all, the purpose of a COLA is to make an adjustment based on inflation as it affects a senior. That's what we should be doing. So that bill addresses all of those issues in a pretty comprehensive way and gets us to a Social Security program that is solvent for the rest of this century.
Let me ask you a question just to make a right turn here for a minute. As wonderful as what we have in place is, there are always shortfalls. Dental, vision, hearing. Are there any proposals underway or any thoughts to including some of those items for seniors?
You know, I'm sorry, but the connection's not that good. Would you mind repeating that?
Not at all. I'll shorten it. dental, vision, hearing, three problems that plague people that are aging, not covered. Are there any plans underway to look at that aspect?
To cover what?
Dental, vision, and hearing, you know, that are benefits that don't exist at this time,
right?
With anybody, as far as that goes, there's really very few insurance programs that are any good either. And I did read in your on your website that one of the areas you would look at for expanding Medicare would be in those three areas. Do you believe there's any reality to trying to do that?
Well put.
Yeah. Well, there are a number of bills. Congresswoman Allard from Roybal Allard from California has a bill that would address just that and begin to cover dental, vision, and hearing. Congresswoman Debbie Dingell of Michigan has a bill that addresses the hearing part of that. You know, Medicare is a great program. I don't think you find any any beneficiary who would say, I don't really want Medicare because it's that important. But it's not perfect. It has gaps in coverage. And those gaps are vision, dental, and hearing. And they're so important, not just to the health of someone, but safety. If you can't hear what your doctor is saying, if you can't hear an alarm, you're at risk your health is at risk. So your safety is at risk. So there are proposals. It's going to take a while to have that added to the Medicare program. You know, the prescription drug part of Medicare took years to add, and Medicare itself. It took 25 years from the time President Truman started pushing Medicare before Lyndon Johnson was able to put it through in law in 1965. So these things, unfortunately, take time. A lot of the medical community don't want to add these benefits. Why? I don't understand, because you would have so many people that would use those benefits if they were available. But the medical community, just as with Medicare itself, doctors opposed to Medicare for the most part. They didn't want to deal with the bureaucracy, with the government getting involved. But now there are very few people who would say we shouldn't have the Medicare program. So those are important components. I think eventually we will see those become part of the Medicare program.
Talking Medicare program, one of the things that people like us who are not actively really involved with the program other than using Medicare is about the fraud that exists within the system of Medicare. Is that something that is addressed by your group and by Capitol Hill, if you will, in general? I mean, how bad is the fraud situation?
How bad is what?
The fraud, you know, fraud within Medicare. You know, is there an effort that goes on that's strong to minimize the amount of fraud that takes place? People like us who are really not privy to the details of a lot of things, just because it's the way it works, are they looking at fraud in Medicare and trying to reduce it? Because it seems to me like there's a huge amount of money that people are ripping the system off, if you will, on both sides, the medical side and maybe even patients or false businesses that have been set up. But these are all things that people just hear, you know, that really don't know the depth of it.
What I tell people is, if you believe you receive a bill, a medical bill, and you believe it's inflated and in a way that may be fraudulent, there's an 800 number that was established that has been pretty successful. It's 1-800-HHS-TIPS, T-I-P-S, that can be called to report a problem with billing. And really, it's important that consumers get involved in this, because that's the only way. That's not the only way, but it's the best way to transmit concerns about fraud to the federal government. There has been abuse. There has been fraud. I think it's been minimized over the years, but it still exists. And I think having consumers pay attention to their billing and not just assume, well, Medicare is going to cover it, so I don't have to worry about it, is something that needs to be changed.
Max, could you repeat that? It's 1-800
HHS TIPS, T-I-P-S.
HSS?
HHS, Health and Human Services. That's the Department of Government where Medicare resides.
Okay. We're in the about the three-minute mark here, and I was just curious as to what would you say are the primary two things, really, the primary goals of your group for the future, the foreseeable future, and which maybe you can't do in 3 minutes, but maybe a real top-level look at it, and then also what can the public do to get more informed and maybe...
I think that second part is really, really important, because I'm sitting here and thinking, you know, what can we as individuals do? Certainly what we have is wonderful and we all appreciate it, but so we need to be forward-looking.
Now you're down to 2.5 minutes.
Well, you know...
Tell us the top three things that you're shooting at, and also how can we get involved to help?
We're basically... Well, a couple of things that are kind of at the top of the list right now, besides dealing with expanding and improving the program and both programs, Medicare and Social Security, in the ways we talked about, the addressing the cap to bring more revenue in, improving the benefits of the Medicare program with the addition of vision, dental, and hearing. One of the things that I think this really ties into the one of the myths about Social Security, that there's no money there, has been stolen, is having faith in the program in the way it delivers services. Since the year 2000, 125 Social Security offices have closed. I think since 2010, 65 have closed. And we have participated just recently in a rally I spoke at in Arlington, Virginia, where the government plans to close that Social Security office next month. Same in Baltimore. We have a rally planned there at the Social Security office on June 19th. And this is happening all over the country. And right now, to force people, many of them needing public transportation, to go to a Social Security office to get help, to get answers to questions, to spend another couple of hours getting to a different office that is already overcrowded, it discourages people from having confidence that the program is taking care of them. So we lobbied extensively a few months ago to have money added to the Social Security budget, the administrative budget, to keep staffing up, to stop the abbreviated hours that are being imposed on many Social Security offices, and to keep offices open. And keep in mind, a lot of the money that is spent to administer the program, all those offices, the staff, the computers, a lot of that money comes out of the payroll tax. That money is paid for, by workers for the program to provide their services. So, and at the same time, the Congress has authority over how much will be appropriated. We were able, I testified before the House Ways and Means Committee and urged an increase in the appropriations for Social Security as opposed to what the administration had sent to the Congress. And there was an additional amount of about $400 million added, which will help provide adequate service, including, and I'm sure some of your listeners are aware of this, the fact that there are not enough people in the Social Security Administration to handle disability claims. And that, what does that mean? Last year, 10,000 people died waiting for a hearing. The average wait for a hearing, if you have a claim and it's denied and you appeal it, you have to wait about 600 or 700 days to have a hearing. In the meantime, what happens? People die. So, we just met the other day with the staff of the Appropriations Committee in the House, trying to add money next year to the Social Security budget so there will be sufficient resources. You know, right now, it makes no sense to cut the funding for Social Security to run the program when 10,000 people are added to the rolls every day. That's how many people are added to become beneficiaries of these programs every day. We need to improve the budget to expand the services.
I'm sorry, our time has gone so fast here, and this topic is of super importance to us and everybody who listens to this show, and I would love for our producer to arrange to have you on here again. so we can get into a lot more depth as far as some of these topics go. But unfortunately, a half an hour goes very quickly.
And thank you so much. Yeah. It was excellent.
Come on again, anytime.
And thank you.
We really appreciate you, what your efforts are and your organization. And, you know, most of us are legless when it comes to fighting these things. And people like you and your organization are what support us. So we do appreciate it very much. Thank you.